Hi, my lovies. This is Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast. And today we are going to be talking about the Undercover Healing Light. Now, this episode is mostly focused on people who are practitioners, magical practitioners in their families, and their families are more mainstream religious. It could really be any religion. But I always, float toward, mainstream Christianity, because that's really the only religion that I can really go deep on. Yes, there are, other religions that, may take to spirituality a little bit better, but I know for a fact that Christianity is the most famous religion for literally, just not tolerating anything that does not, come out of the Bible or is not, mainstream anything, right? They can't explain it. They don't want nothing to do with it, right? So this is for people who are practitioners and they have either a very heavy mainstream religious family group, friend group, or just maybe even neighborhood or just community. And the reason why I call it undercover is because a lot of people, obviously when you are in mainstream religion, don't want to hear, or give power to anything that is not part of their belief system, right? We all know the power of prayer. The power of prayer is universal. That could be with any religion and any practice of any kind. The power of prayer is very powerful. The main goal in this particular episode is really to touch on when there is conflict that requires spiritual means, but it's unbeknownst to the mainstream religious people around you, and they are pretty much at their wit's end to solve a problem. And I'm sure with consent that the very seasoned practitioners who are listening to this have definitely solved problems with spiritual means without telling anyone, right? Because us practitioners will solve problems for ourselves, with spiritual means. And people are just like, oh my goodness, how did you make that work out? Oh my goodness, how did you achieve that? How did you attain that? Because people who are religious are very limited to how things get solved. Right? It's like you pray about it, or you just work harder, or you just, go in private and talk about it, seek therapy. And those are all good things to do. Not saying those things do not work. However, when you are at your physical wit's end, right? When you're at your 3D world wit's end, we got to start moving into the 4D and the 5D world, to the spirit world. Usually a lot of situations are solved calling on your ancestors, calling on what we call the invisible army, right? Because if you're going to believe that there are angels around you, that's considered an invisible army as well, right? But it is very, not so known to, religious people as an effective way. They feel like, you're calling on the dead and the dead are at rest, and that's really mean, and that's silly, and those aren't, your ancestors, those are demons, these are this. It's a very, very misunderstood world. At the same time, here you are as a practitioner getting shit done, talking to very much your ancestors, because you obviously know how to vet spirits, right? You know how to wait long enough to see if they're real or not, right? And it's like, you know what you're doing, right? And it's almost literally impossible to explain this to anyone who is mainstream religious. And then at the end of the show, or the end of the, the solve conflict, right? Everyone's like, oh, thank the Lord. And you're just sitting there like, I'm sorry, what? And you're like, wait a minute, but it was me. Like, I burned all those candles. I said all the incantations. I fasted. I did all this stuff, or whatever, and they're all just sitting there like, oh, thank the Lord. There is a very funny Daniel Sloss comedy skit in regards to this same thing, but he refers to it to atheism. I have it linked here in the podcast, so click on that and you'll get a pretty much a good idea of what I mean, especially when it's obvious that 3D measures did not solve this problem. Especially when religious people say, oh, we can't explain it, it's a miracle. Is it though? Is it really? Like, is a 21-day fast a miracle, or is it that religion just doesn't teach you how to do some actual spiritual work, right? Because it's kind of like, you know, kind of law of compensation. You put the energy out there for it to return to you to solve the problem that you worked for. It's like going to work and then after 2 weeks receiving a paycheck because that's all the energy you put into it. Like, how weird is that, right? And you're stuck there, you know, trying to be happy for the situation, but at the same time, if you are ruled by your ego, right, it's really gonna crush you on the inside that every single time, even if you explain it to people, or even if you tell people that you did spiritual work, they are still gonna take the credit for it. That is the most unfortunate thing, because people are obviously blind and small-minded, and if you're religious, you're both, okay? But they're gonna take the credit for all the work that you did. And at some point as a practitioner, you really just have to settle on the fact that the problem got solved. Right? You gotta really just take the brunt, knowing that you're never gonna get, you know, recognition for your work. Now, spiritually you will, sure, right? You'll be abundant, and then all of a sudden good things start happening to you on top of this problem being solved. Everyone's like, what did she do? Meanwhile, you know damn well what you did. They just don't know, or they just don't want to hear it. And unfortunately, that's, you know, that's their problem. But that link to Daniel Sloss's comedy skit, I need you to really watch that and tell me what you think about that. Now, the reason why I'm making this particular episode too is because when it comes to people who might be sick or mentally ill or feeling like they may be cursed or haunted, a lot of religious people will chuck that up to mental health. Right? They'll chuck that up to either mental health, or it's like, oh, you have a demon, right? And you need to pray it away and pray Psalms this and pray this and do that, and I'm gonna pray for you and stuff like that. And us as practitioners, we're thinking in the back of our head, like, no, we're just like, you know, there's gonna be a full moon soon. We gotta figure out what color candle is appropriate for this, what oils are appropriate, what incense we gotta do, like how much cleansing we gotta do, or how much, you know, fasting we gotta do, or which ancestor we should call on, and all this stuff. Like, all this stuff goes into like this big planning vision board, and we can put little red yarn around it like we're solving a crime, right? But that's pretty much what spiritual practitioners do. We try to solve problems, right? And when it comes to people that they feel might be, you know, having demons, or they're messed up in the mind, it's like, oh, it's just mental and she's just gonna be that way. Some practitioners are like, no, some spirits can temporarily, you know, take over your body or take over your life and either make you go mad or just really take over your physical devices and just provoke you or make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. And technically you're sometimes aware of it and sometimes you're unaware of it. So either way, most practitioners would see that as, let me do some type of cleansing, or you know fasting, or you know, some spiritual reinforcement to see if that person might have just not been protected and now needs to be spiritually protected. There's no such thing as, you know, person that's going to be permanently cursed, you know, if there's a practitioner on the sidelines. There's no such thing. Even people who have roots done on them, if there's a practitioner involved, there's a way to undo it. It's not always the easiest thing, but it is possible, opposed to just trying to pray it away. And then sometimes when you get religious people involved, they do tend to make fun of the person that's going through that, you know, cursed issue or mental health problem, or some religious people try to justify why it's happening to them. Like, oh, you know, you should have never been dealing with all this stuff. You should have never been dealing with all that. And that's not helping the person that's going through the problem. It's not helping. And in fact, their religious, you know, biases and their hatred and their misunderstanding and their ignorance is actually piling on more negativity on that person, you know. And it's almost like deep down, the religious people don't actually want to see that person get better, okay? And that's unfortunate, but most times that is true. It's almost as if their religion can justify that, well, you probably should have been praying to God or Jesus or whoever, and that's why you ended up like that, so you deserve to be that way, so I'm not as motivated to help you. Practitioners don't think that way. Practitioners are like, no, something's off. That person was not like that so-and-so years ago. And we think of ways to solve the problem. Now, however, you are not supposed to do magic on people without their consent, okay? Even if, you know, it's healing them. However, there are, you know, some loopholes to people who just, you know, don't have any other means and just at their wits' end, and they might be scared to do some things themselves, and then you just take it upon yourself to then heal them in the background. That is not a bad thing. It is totally okay to heal people when it comes to, you know, consent and everything. However, more often than not, the person who is going through the terrible time is looking for an answer. So they're putting it out there like, you know, help me, I need help. So right there is that you can catch that feather in the wind and say, that's consent for me. That's consent enough for me, saying that you would go to anything or anybody to get help. You're looking to get better. It's even better when the person comes to you specifically and says, hey, you know, I know that you don't use regular means, but if there is a way to help me, you know, that would be awesome, because, you know, I am not liking what is going on with me. And that's the best consent that you could ever get. So if you are a practitioner and that's ever happened and you've ever questioned whether or not you should help, that is a yes, help them. Okay? Like, at that point, it is to, like, your utmost responsibility, if not obligation, even if you don't act on it so quickly. Yes, everything takes vetting and takes thinking, because sometimes you are dealing with high level, you know, spirits or even demons whenever you are trying to help someone, and you got to think about yourself and protecting yourself. However, there's a reason why that person was able to float in your direction. Okay, so that means there is something or someone still looking out for that person, for them to get better or for them to do better. Okay, for them to have even crossed your path in the first place. I'm not saying go outside and start chasing down people with problems and asking them if they need help. That's what Christians do. Please don't do that. Okay, we're not Jehovah's Witness practitioners. We're not going to knock on door. We're not doing that. Okay, but if you were ever, you know, wondering about, you know, doing that, if someone is asking you for help, even if they expect you to use mundane means, even if someone comes up to you and says, hey, can you pray with me, or can you pray for me, and in the back of your mind as a practitioner, like, oh, absolutely, I will surely pray, but you intend to praying to Hecate or, you know, Odin or whoever to help, because you know that whatever means they're using isn't working, or whoever they're praying to isn't answering. Just saying, as a for instance, I'm not trying to get up on a spiritual high horse here, so definitely, you know, don't misunderstand. Then we come to the brunt, right? Now, let's say this person gets better, things in their life start going well, right? Things start to pick up for them. They are happier. They're doing better. They're feeling better. They're getting more control in their life. You know, people are really seeing a change and a difference in them, and they are just confident and ready and just kind of like, you know, I don't know what was going on with me, but now I'm free from it and whatever. Is it going to work 100% of the time? No. However, you do send healing light toward that person. And I know it does have some effect. All healing energy has some effect on the person. Sometimes people resist that effect, okay? And then the healing takes longer, okay? Or it just completely, like, you know, it worked for a short period of time and then they're just resisting it. It's all up to the person who wants the healing, right? But will it work 100% if the person wants to be healed? Yes, it will. because that is choice, consent, and, you know, execution, and pretty much crossing the finish line, you know, of your intention. It's not even your intention, it's their intention and your intention. So when, you know, if you were to read a Bible, if two or more are gathered in agreement, then obviously good things will happen, right? And that is just a law of science too. Okay, so then they get better and they're doing well, and guess who shows up? All the religious people who said, oh, I prayed for you and I'm so glad you're doing well and I'm so glad my prayers for you worked. No doubt their prayers probably did work. I'm not gonna sit there and take that away. Their prayers probably did work, but I can almost guarantee 99% of the time the spiritual means is what they needed to actually elevate and actually, you know, pretty much break that spell, so to speak, of what it is that they were going through. And yes, you're gonna hear from everybody who is against you with your practices and your spiritual means and your witchcraft. And they're gonna be like, see, she got better. I think you should consider, you know, talking to God and Jesus and stuff like that. And we prayed for her and her life got better. And I would, you know, I would suggest that you do that too. And you as a practitioner are sitting back like, yeah, sure, I'll think about that. I will think about that for sure, you know? And you don't have like a hero complex to walk up to the person and say, hey, I burned 15 candles for you to get better, so you owe me. That is not what we feel. We literally feel like when a veterinarian heals a sick animal and then sends them home, hopefully to never return, that they never get sick again, right? But if they do, sure, for sure, I will, you know, be there again to help you get better. But you're going to get every religious person saying, oh, everything you're doing is evil. Your witchcraft is evil. Look at so-and-so who just got better and this, this, and that. Even if the person you healed turns to religion, even if they turn to religion, or if they even believe that religious means healed them, okay, you still are just glad enough that the person got better. Okay, because when you are a spiritual practitioner, you're not trying to take ownership of the person, right? It's just that you felt useful in some way, because religion tries to give you this almost like this narcissistic identity that if you are doing something, it's like you get points or something, you know, like you get to see your points when you die, when you go to heaven or whatever. Like, yep, I saved this person, this person, this person. I can almost guarantee if you are a practitioner listening to this, you cannot count on two hands, two feet, or whatever, how many people you have helped in your life. There's no way you could literally count for it all, right? Even if you had receipts of emails and thank yous and text messages, still wouldn't equate to the accurate number of people that you've helped. Okay, because there are people that you've helped that probably never bought your services. They probably saw you in a bar and you gave them great spiritual advice. You know, you probably saw them on a bus or out doing something, and there are no physical receipts. Okay, because practitioners, we don't collect receipts. Okay, we're just the ones that are just kind of like, you know, seeing someone that we healed, and we're just happy for them, and we're happy that they can go on with their lives. We don't need to take the credit for it. We don't need to do that. I think that is so interesting how practitioners really would rather just see things get better than take the credit. Because let's face it, practitioners, if you're listening, we are literally always like under the carpet, right? We are most certainly the undercover healing light of this world. There are people going through tragedies because they refuse to use spiritual means, and we have to pick up the slack of what they refuse to do. With consent, of course, and like I said, with good intentions, of course, all right? And by the way, the road to hell is not paved with good intentions. That's actually a lie, okay? I don't know who started that, but that is such a lie, all right? So spiritual practitioners, continue to heal people. Continue to understand that you're most likely not going to get the credit for the good work that you do. And that's not the most important thing. Getting the credit is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that people heal and that things get better. All right, my lovies, this episode is concluding, and I hope you enjoyed it. Please tell me your thoughts. Again, this is Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.